This is the web stream of KBOO Portland. KBOO is 100% community supported. If you have not yet become a member, go to the website kboo.fm and click on the tip jar.
Attorney Lynn Stewart. I'm Dennis Bernstein. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We continue our drumbeat coverage of the worsening situation around the Korean Peninsula. The saber rattling on both sides is at a pitched level now. The U.S. is flying in more forces. The wide-ranging military exercises with South Korea are continuing, and there seems to be no turning back. Joining us to talk more about this is Hoon Lee. She is a member of the Working Group on Peace and Demilitarization in Asia and the Pacific, as well as the National Campaign to End the Korean War. And she joins us from New York City. It is good to have you with us.
Hi, good evening.
Why don't you give us your best shot in terms of the latest, in terms of what's happening and how dangerous you think it is at this point?
Well, first, let me say, as a Korean-American with people I care about on both sides of the DMZ in North and South Korea, the situation right now is very alarming. I know that there are some in Washington circles who are trying to downplay the seriousness of the situation, saying this is very typical of what we have seen in the past. I don't think it's wise for us to ignore the seriousness of the situation. I think what concerns me the most in terms of the most recent development is an agreement that was signed between South Korea and the United States last Friday. It's called a Local Provocation Counter Operations Plan. And what this agreement does is if in the event there is an outbreak, a skirmish in the West Sea, and the West Sea is the site of many past skirmishes, the most recent one that people are familiar with is the skirmish that happened a couple of years ago on Yeompyeong Island. In the event that such a skirmish should reignite in the West Sea, then this agreement gives field commanders, South Korean field commanders on these islands, the right to retaliate first and then report later. And South Korea has already announced, the Defense Ministry has already announced in the past, that it reserves the right for asymmetric retaliation, meaning if there's a provocation from the north, they will not only retaliate back at the source of the origin of the provocation, but also at supporting forces. If that happens, then a local skirmish that we've seen in the past can definitely ignite into an all-out war. So I think the current situation is a very alarming one, and I think the ratcheting up of rhetoric and also the current military exercises that are underway right now definitely contribute to that tension.
Do you think there's a conscious people's effort on both sides? It's hard to figure out what's going on in the north. What can we say about the desire of the folks on the ground who are going to be most affected? What are they thinking about? What's going on between the people and these two parts of the Koreas?
Well, I mean, there are vigils and protests every day in South Korea urging on the Park Geun-hye administration to call for restraint and calm at this and not an escalation of tension. I believe Secretary Kerry is in Korea right now, and there have been protests and vigils also to send a message to the U.S. government to halt the military exercises and reengage with North Korea. The Korean War was 60 years ago, and there is a generation of people who survived that war who are still alive and remember very well the disaster that that caused for both sides on the Korean Peninsula. And definitely war would not be in anyone's interest. And so it is a very critical moment for us to call on all parties to, but especially the United States government, to really restrain from provoking tensions further.
Well, it was very alarming in terms of the comments coming out of General James Thurman. He's the commander of the U.S. military forces in South Korea, and he is saying essentially that miscalculation is a real, even if people don't want war, given the current high alert all around, it's that much more possible.
Yes, and it is very alarming that it's coming from his mouth, that his assessment is that even accidental war, ignition of war is possible. The U.S. media often likes to paint the picture as if North Korea is the only bad party in the situation, and it rarely talks about U.S. policies and actions that have actually created the current crisis. You know, I think it's important for us to be aware that since 2011, some historical backdrop to the current crisis is that since 2011, the United States has actually been intensifying war threats on the Korean Peninsula. So back in 2011, two significant things happened. Number one, the death of Kim Jong-il, the former leader of North Korea. Before his death, many in South Korea as well as in Washington predicted that with his death would be the collapse of the North Korean regime. And North Korea defied those predictions. He passed away in 2011, and the regime did not collapse. At the same time, in 2011, President Obama also announced a shift in U.S. foreign policy to increase its naval presence and its diplomatic presence in the Asia-Pacific region, because the U.S. now considers the Asian continent and the Asia-Pacific region as a key geostrategic region in terms of its economic interests. And so since then, what the United States has been doing is, number one, it's been openly exercising a military operation plan called 5029. That is an operation plan that simulates regime collapse scenarios in North Korea, as well as U.S. forces occupying North Korea. It has also transferred weaponry from Iraq and Afghanistan as it withdraws, and transferring weaponry to the DMZ. For example, mine-resistant armored vehicles, they're now transferred to the DMZ. The U.S. has also increased South Korea's ballistic missile range, so that now South Korea's ballistic missiles can hit anywhere in North Korean territory. The U.S. last July also announced the completion of super nuclear bunker busters for specifically for use against North Korea. And then it also appointed a former special operations commander in Afghanistan to lead special operations in Korea. So North Korea is fully aware of these developments on the Korean Peninsula, on the other side of the DMZ. And it's in that context that North Korea is saying, we are now nullifying the armistice, there's no longer a ceasefire, and fighting can erupt at any time.
Your final thoughts, your first concern is?
My first concern, obviously, is that the situation gets out of control and there is an outbreak of another confrontation. What I'd like to end with, finally, is that the White House recently came out and said diplomacy is possible if North Korea would only control itself and be willing to come back to the table. I think, actually, the ball is in the U.S. court, because North Korea has been very clear that what it would take for a change in the situation is for the United States to act first in terms of changing fundamentally its policy towards North Korea, meaning that normalization of relations and ending a policy of considering and treating North Korea as an enemy state. And I think the U.S. right now has actually three main options at this point, and they're running out of time in terms of making a decision on which course it's going to go. I think the first option is continue to ignore North Korea's threats, which the United States has been doing since the beginning of President Obama's administration. But this is actually very dangerous, because it means that North Korea will continue to test nuclear weapons. And that has already fueled conservatives in South Korea and Japan, which have their own nuclear ambitions. The second option that the United States has is obviously risk frontal war. That is definitely not within the interests of anyone, particularly the people on the Korean Peninsula, but also for the United States, because North Korea, as it has announced, is poised to attack U.S. bases in South Korea, Japan, possibly even Guam and Hawaii. The third option, which I believe is the most sensible option, is to abandon regime collapse scenarios and start peace talks to finally end the Korean War and normalize relations, which is what the North Koreans have been demanding all along.
All right. right. Well, Lee, we want to thank you very much. Very important information. And we thank you for joining us on Flashpoints. We're going to be watching this very closely.
Good morning, and thanks for listening to KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland during our spring membership drive. In the moment you are listening to Flashpoints Investigative News Radio with Dennis Bernstein, this is actually a show that is out of our friend station at Berkeley. We have a solidarity with our West Coast community radio station, so high five to Berkeley. And we want you to support us, 877-500-5266, or go online, kboo.fm. Support your community radio station, KBOO. We have so much great content that you have access to, and we just want your support.
That's exactly right. And one of the reasons you come to KBOO Community Radio is because you want the news put to you directly. You know, you don't want it all sexed up with, you know, hype and with sensationalism. You know, newspapers, radio stations, most TV channels, they may be reporting the news, but they're also trying to turn a profit.
You know, exactly.
You know, and that it's harder than ever to turn a profit. There's so much pressure to cut corners, to reduce news gathering, to make the shareholders happy. You know, at KBOO, we don't have shareholders. We have listeners instead. And we depend on listeners like you. If you've been enjoying the show, please call in 877-500-5266.
That's right. We have a goal of $500 for this shift, and we just need you to take us to that goal. Our spring membership drive actually finishes tomorrow, Saturday, and we're full on goal. We're a little bit behind by about 15%. So help us reach our goal. Help us get back to our regular programming. Call 877-500-5266, kboo.fm if you would prefer to donate online, and become a member. Really, you're becoming a member of this community radio station. That's the most important piece of it, is that this is not about corporations and advertising. This is about you, the listener.
So think about how much you enjoy KBOO, how much you use KBOO, and how much you quantify that in terms of your budget. You know, if you received a bill for it, you know, just a few times a year, how much would you pay? And if you can, I'm pleased, and because you can, you know, please do call in today, 877-500-5266, with whatever support you can show for our radio station and our programs.
That's right. Again, the number is 877-500-5266, or go online at kboo.fm and click on the tip jar, and also go online to learn more about the station, and then, of course, while you're there, click on the tip jar.
And now back to our show.
In Berkeley, I'm Dennis Bernstein. You're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. Well, we continue our discussion of the situation around North Korea, South Korea, and the United States. Joining us to talk about this is Francis Boyle. Boyle is a professor at the University of Illinois College of Law. He's the author most recently of Tackling America's Toughest Questions. And, well, welcome back, Francis Boyle. It's good to have you with us again.
Well, Dennis, thank you very much for having me on, and my best to your listening audience.
We're hearing about North Korea as a renegade, a international renegade in the community of nations. The U.S. and South Korea saying that they're unilaterally violating the 1953 armistice, and that makes them a renegade and sort of opens up the door to lots of other things. You want to address this in the context of international law?
Right, Dennis. Well, there's so much propaganda here and pro-war disinformation being put out by the United States government and the mainstream news media sources that it's hard to keep track of all. And here, I would encourage your readers to go out and read I.F. Stone's muckraking book on the First Korean War, where Stone documented, one, that the United States government provoked it, and two, everything you were reading in the mainstream news media was nothing more than pure propaganda being put out by the Pentagon. And that is what has been going on now here pretty much since the beginning of March when these war maneuvers started. And that's why I think it's so dangerous, because it reads like a run-up to the original Korean War. Today's Wall Street Journal reports that this is a deliberate strategy, a strategy of provocation and escalation. Now, that's the Wall Street Journal that was approved at the highest levels of the United States government, including the President, Secretary of State, Kerry, and Hagel, put into operation to deliberately provoke and escalate this crisis with DPRK, North Korea. And we've seen all the steps that have been taken, simulated B-52 bombing runs that can be nuclear, simulated B-2 bombing runs that can be nuclear, Raptor planes that launch an offensive strike, stealth planes, BMD radars to shoot down DPRK missiles and things of this nature. So even in accordance with today's Wall Street Journal, this is all deliberate. It is being orchestrated right out of the Pentagon and the White House. This has all been war-gamed already. That's been reported elsewhere. Before the Pentagon goes to war, they always run a war game. This has been war-gamed. They've been through the war game, and now it appears they're going to start carrying it out. They will soon be deploying a contingent of United States Marines to South Korea pursuant to the war plan. There are already hostile military naval maneuvers in the West Sea where there is no mutually agreed sea boundary one way or the other. Everything is disputed waters, and they've done this before right off of the DPRK coast. As for the sinking of the Cho'nan, we have no idea what happened there. There was never any impartial investigation by any independent authority. ROK was running war maneuvers late at night, right off the coast of DPRK, and the Cho'nan sank. So we don't know exactly what happened there. The shelling incident at the Yongping Island, and this could start up right now as we're speaking. There are naval exercises going on there. In 2010, ROK began shelling into these disputed waters.
ROK?
Republic of Korea.
Okay.
And DPRK is North Korea. I guess I'll do that one. Began shelling.